Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
How happy are you to be a member of the Boston Bruins?
I'm very excited.
What do you think when you say the word Boston Bruins? What goes through your mind?
I think it's probably the best organization.
What was along the lines of the organization I'm speaking there? What was your perception of the Bruins here over the years, just given the core they have in place? You know, Bergeron, Marchand, Char, a lot of mainstays have been here for a long time.
Yeah, it's probably like great players.
Andre, how are you feeling, and do you think tomorrow night is a possibility for you?
I think I'm not sure actually, so I don't know yet.
How do you feel?
I feel good. Very good.
If it was up to you, would you be able to play?
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to hour number two of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss-Free Farm Radio. Glad you're able to join the show wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your morning, as I know a lot of you are getting ready to head out, start making your way to work and so forth. Hope springs eternal for the Boston Bruins in 2020. But as to how will it all come together and how it would all work, no one knows. No one really knows for sure. So that remains to be seen. But what is a known factor right now is that we're going to continue discussing the Bruins and what has been a very Bruins heavy morning for this show thus far. As I welcome your phone calls at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Here with you until 8 o'clock this morning. So another 2-hour edition of the Shukri Wright Show today. Also tomorrow, I'll be on at 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. and Thursday, it's a special 3-hour show from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Thursday morning. And then my regular slot Saturday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So, with all that being said, let's look at the players that the Bruins acquired yesterday, and as well as the acquisition that they made on Friday. Andrei Kashe, from the latest reports and in a clip that I played that was yesterday, he spoke with the media after practice at the Warrior Ice Arena, in which that he talked about what his impressions were of the Boston Bruins yesterday, as well as before his arrival, plus whether if he thought he would be ready to go tonight. And now I mentioned that he had been getting ready for his debut tonight against the Calgary Flames. I do want to make a correction, saying that there's a chance that he may not play tonight due to in fact that he had been trying to return from an injury and so forth. So there is no guarantee that he will play tonight, but Bruce Cassidy did in fact say It did, in fact, suggest that he may not be in the lineup tonight against the Calgary Flames. And I keep in mind that he had been out. I'm talking about Kashe. He has been out of action since February 7th because of flu-like symptoms. And that he mentioned Kashe on the following practice that he felt really good. Now, Cassidy said, quote, "I don't know if he's going to play tomorrow, to be honest with you." Well, today. You said that yesterday. "I think he'd like to get a few more reps here with us. The deal is as much for the playoffs and moving forward, whether it's Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday, we'll get a look at him." Unquote. So, going into the trade deadline yesterday, what was the biggest need that the Bruins had? They needed someone with size, and they needed someone that needed to play with Krejci on Krejci's second line with DeBrusque. And I honestly think that Don Sweeney, although it wasn't the quote-unquote sexy pick, quote-unquote, but I think in large part they addressed both needs with both of these players. But as to how it will work out moving forward, that's as good as anybody else's guess. I can't even begin to make any type of prediction as to how it will work out, what will happen. I can't do it. But what I do know is this, is that Kashe is a guy who actually brings speed, and that's what he was known for when he was in Anaheim. This is a guy that he can score. This is a guy that isn't just someone who's got speed and can't get the puck on the net or can't put the puck behind the net and so forth. So there's definitely something that I definitely do think that if he can stay healthy, and that's going to be the big key here. Kashe has to get healthy. He has to be healthy because we know that he has concussion history. We know that that's really been the big story for his career so far, ever since he came into the league in 2016-17 season with Anaheim. That's been his story. He's never played more than 66 games in a season, and that came in 2017-2018. That's it. The last two seasons, he's played 30 games. This season, he's played in 49 so far. So for him, it's a matter of getting healthy. And if he's healthy, according to advanced NHL scouts, they say that he could be the difference maker for this Bruins team. That remains to be seen. Now, someone had said, well, the fact that they gave away a first rounder to get him, no. It wasn't the fact that they thought that Andre Kashi was worth giving up a first round pick. It was about the idea that they needed to move David Backes off the books. So in order to do that, they sweeten the deal and say, hey, we'll give you a first rounder to sweeten the pot for you. And that's what they did. But the big key is for Andre Kashe is that he has to be able to stay healthy. That's going to be the big piece. Now, as for the other former Anaheim Duck who was acquired yesterday before the trade deadline at 3 o'clock, that would be one Nick Ritchie. Now, Ritchie, like Kashe, is 6 feet tall and higher. Ritchie is 6'2". He's 24 years old, 230, so he's a big body winger, a left winger at that. And so far this season, he has 19 points. He has 8 goals and 11 assists. But this is a guy who already, he's a seasoned NHL vet, quote unquote, given that he has already 4 full seasons underneath his belt. And that this is a guy who is not afraid to throw hands. And he is a physical type of player. He is. And the thing that I want to point out and I want to remind everybody is, what was the big issue that the Bruins had last spring in the Stanley Cup Finals against the St. Louis Blues? They couldn't match St. Louis's physicality at all. And that was part of the thinking for Don Sweeney in getting Nick Ritchie is, listen, you have a guy who could play physical and engage in physical matchup, especially should the Bruins face a Washington Capitals team, for example, even a Tampa Bay Lightning team deep in the Stanley Cup playoffs, in the Eastern Conference playoffs this spring. So that is something that I think is going to be very important to watch out for. And that this is something that I feel like the Bruins, especially the Bruin fans, they have missed all-time hockey. And Nick Ritchie has got that element to his game. Not the potential. Well, he has potential, obviously, but I'm talking about the actual ability to have that physical, rugged style of play and bring that here in something that the Bruins have lacked in recent years. And they sure as hell could have used it last spring against the Blues. You can call into the show, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I think it's also important to point out this as well, that the Bruins are in a position now in which that they know and understand that the Stanley Cup players is going to be a whole different animal, but I think it's important to also point out this as well, that no opponent is the same in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Here's an example. Last spring, when the Bruins played the Toronto Maple Leafs, what was Toronto's game predicated on? It was predicated on skill. Because think about it. You have the 3 centers in your lineup, like Tavares, Austin Matthews, and a Mitch Marner, William Nylander combo, whichever way you want to put it. And they have wingers. What was Columbus game predicated on last spring? You could say physicality. They also have speed. Don't get it twisted. And pretty good goaltending in Sergei Bobrovsky. Carolina. What was their game predicated on last spring when we played them in the Eastern Conference Finals? What was the game predicated on? It was predicated on front net presence, as well as their ability to create traffic and getting to the net as well. That's Carolina. And then it's obviously, as we mentioned with the St. Louis Blues, bruising. Punch him through the ice. That's what the game was predicated on. But what about the skill players? Well, the skill players were the skill players, but your best skill player was Vladimir Tarasenko. But their overall style was basically to punch you right through the ice. So what I'm saying is that no team style as you advance through the playoffs is going to be the same. It's not. So it's something to keep in mind. It's something to think about, and it's something to reflect on, especially when we get closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And here we are with about 19 games remaining. After tonight, it'll be down to 18 games. It'll be fascinating to see, especially as we approach the month of March, which comes next week, how these two new additions gel with the club. Because that's going to be a big other piece as well. Coming up next, I want to bring up an interesting story that I came across while I was reading the Globe. And it actually has something to do with the Celtics. And I think it's worth a discussion. So we're going to be talking about the Celtics, but not in the manner in which that you may think. Stick around for that. Plus your phone calls, as always. Phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Soy you are the one for me. Left your baby mom, now Cardi's your wife to be. Ex had me locked up, but you came to set me free. They say you're not my type, but you got my type to be. So answer this, can you hold me, can I trust you? Paddock on the wrist, both arms, that's what us do. Mansion on the hills, half-half if you want to. But that's only if you want to. Se me ve, leme ahora, le mete sudando, su cuerpo demora.
De toda la baby, ella es la championa. Se pone loquita si me escucha en la emisora y ahora.
Usted me ve, leme ahora, le mete sudando, su cuerpo demora.
De toda la baby, ella es la championa. Se pone loquita si me escucha en la emisora y ahora. Y de pensar que yo contigo quiero estar, querer probar algo de ti pa' no olvidar. Yo no me sé ni su nombre, pero la quiero. Paso y dejo su fragancia, que me desespero.
Y de pensar que yo contigo quiero estar, quiero probar algo de ti pa' no olvidar.
Yo no me sé ni su nombre, pero la quiero. Paso y dejo su fragancia, que no me desespero.
Rapa papay, rapa papay, oh, oh, oh. Y rapa papay, rapa papay. Así es que la quiero, quiero. Rapa papay, rapa papay, oh, oh, oh. Y rapa papay, rapa papay. Así es que la quiero, quiero.
Masters or cruise on the parkway on my TA, I like to tune in to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It's wicked piss up.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Free Forum Radio, streaming nationally on the TuneIn Radio app and TuneIn.com, as well as globally on WMFO.org as well. It's not often that I've talked about the Boston Celtics on this show, and I'll be the first to admit, basketball is not really my strong suit. I'll be completely transparent. Baseball, hockey, football, yes. Basketball, not so much, but through continual improvement, I know I can become even better and even well-versed and feeling confident enough to talk about it, where I know that I'm very much knowledgeable in that field. So with that being said, I definitely want to touch on a column that was written in the Boston Globe, in which that it was written actually yesterday, last night, by Chad Finn in the Boston Globe. And in the title of the article, the column is, "Sunday showed us Celtics Lakers in the NBA Finals showdown would be worth it." Before I even share with you the excerpt, just based on that headline alone, it was like, wow, you know what? It really would be. for everything that has gone on in the NBA this season, and I mean really serious when I talk about this now. For everything that the NBA has gone through this season, in terms of the passing of David Stern, and then the most tragic death in pro sports that we can probably remember in our lifetime, with the death of Kobe Bryant, I think more than anything, the NBA could use an epic NBA final showdown between two of the greatest franchises in the history of the sport, in the Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics. Let me reiterate that. Consider everything that has happened in the NBA this season. And it really has, as great of a season it's been in terms of the competitiveness in the league as well, in terms of, I mean, looking across the league, in terms of teams that can have a legitimate chance to compete for a title, like the Toronto Raptors, the Milwaukee Bucks, who have the best record in the NBA as of right now, the Boston Celtics, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Denver Nuggets and so forth, Houston. I can keep going on and on and on. As great of a season as it's been, it's also been a very difficult one as well. And I can't remember a season in which that I sit back and I think about it, I'm like, wow, this really has been a very trying NBA season. There's no other way to put it. Yesterday, they just had the public memorial for Kobe Bryant yesterday at Staples Center. That was yesterday. So even though the memorial is done now, I think it's very safe to say that we're, to a great extent, we're still reeling over that loss. So with everything that has gone on, everything that's happened, everything that's transpired this season, I think on a, not even just on a sentimental level, but in terms of you want to really bring back not just only the memories, but bring in some serious television ratings back to the league for the NBA Finals, where it has lacked in recent years because the Golden State Warriors, and they were in the midst of their dynasty and so forth. But this spring, you know, there's no Warriors. The Warriors will not make the playoffs. They will not make the playoffs. So you know for sure that this spring you will have a new Western Conference champion in the very least. So with that being said, that headline alone of Celtics, Lakers, NBA Finals, it would be worth it. I couldn't agree more. Feel free to call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And I do think that there's a piece here that really resonated with me, that Chad Finn wrote, and I'm going to share with you right now. Quote, "The Celtics' thrilling, exasperating 114-112 loss Sunday afternoon to LeBron James and the Lakers at the Staples Center was confirmation of something we've been thinking about for a while, and first broached with you guys in a column less than 2 weeks ago on Jason Tatum's development into an A-list franchise cornerstone superstar. This is the year, it must be, for the Celtics and Lakers to renew their historic rivalry in the finals. The teams are worthy of a showdown. James has the roster he wants in Los Angeles, with Anthony Davis forsaking the Celtics' overtures in the offseason to force his way to L.A. Dwight Howard is rejuvenated as a role player and remains as deeply annoying as ever, All Celtic favorites Rajon Rondo and Avery Bradley are reunited in golden purple. And man, that looks weird seeing Boston's former starting backcourt now doing their thing in L.A. End quote. And there's another excerpt piece I want to read here right now, because this is also part of a greater point I also want to make in just a moment. Fenton goes on to write, on quote, a decade later, Brian is gone, the victim of a still staggering helicopter crash that also took the life of his daughter Gigi and seven other people. It's not that his death cast a shadow over the NBA this season. It's so much more than that. His effect on the game and this generation of players was such that his memory is intertwined with virtually everything that happens. His public remembrance in Los Angeles was Monday, but this entire NBA season is now an ongoing homage. A Celtics-Lakers finals is only fitting end. Wow. By the way, I just want to put this out there. I just read this piece now, and that last excerpt I just read echoed the very same sentiments I just said, nearly verbatim. So it tells me quite a few things. Starting with the first one, it really would be a truly befitting way for the NBA season to end in terms of the perfect NBA Finals matchup, Lakers-Celtics, no question. And as a Celtics fan, I will tell you this. I want the Celtics to get to the NBA Finals, but I'm concerned about the lack of scoring off the bench. That worries me, sincerely. And it was on full display on Sunday, in which that, as amazing as Jason Tatum was 41 points, the bench did absolutely nothing offensively. Like, it was just disheartening. But that's besides the point. But the thing that really sticks out to me is this. And I go back a little further up on the article I have here in front of me, in which that Finn writes in the Boston Globe that he wrote, quote, this is the year it must be for the Celtics and Lakers to renew their historic rivalry in the finals. This isn't a sentimental piece here. Not even close. With all due respect to the Milwaukee Bucks, who's had a tremendous season up until this point, the Philadelphia Sixers, who cannot get out of their own way, and they're having an absolute meltdown in Philadelphia right now, not knowing how on earth they're going to get former Celtic Al Horford to buy in or even want to play in Philadelphia. The Celtics, this is it. This is their chance. And honestly, as an NBA fan, I can't think of a more befitting way to wrap up this, like I said at the beginning of this segment, in what has been a very difficult and a very emotional 2019-2020 season. And with everything that's been great in terms of the competitive balance in the league this year and individual stars making names for themselves, the Luka Doncic of the world, obviously LeBron's resurgence in Los Angeles, and all of those things, not to mention Jimmy Butler, like, elevating his Miami Heat team in the East, you know, all names in new places. This is the place, and this is the finals that really would be befitting of wrapping up this season. And the last time it happened, ladies and gentlemen, the last time it happened was 2010. And I'm sorry if this, you know, this if this ends up being a tearjerker. And I really do mean that. But that happened to be Kobe Bryant's final NBA Finals appearance of his career. In the last NBA Finals game that he'd ever play, in that epic Game 7 in Los Angeles in 2010. So I think this column by Chad Finn, and I am so glad that he wrote this column last night in the timing of it. It was befitting. With Kobe's public remembrance yesterday and with the Celtics and Lakers just having played in an epic matchup on a Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles just 2 days ago, it was befitting. And I cannot be more in agreement than I am right now with Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. So I tip my hat, and I never do this, but this is warranted. I tip my hat and I salute you, Mr. Chad Finn, because you get it. You fully understand that this really would be more than just about basketball. Yes, it'll be the perfect way to rekindle the Lakers and Celtics rivalry, which is still very much alive and well in the NBA, especially with Bill Russell donning Kobe's jersey at the game on Sunday. And Bill Russell has long had my respect and my love and my adoration as a Celtics fan, but also as an African American, as he was in the forefront of the civil rights movement among the athletes in the 1960s. But him making that gesture, it only further solidifies his place in my heart among, in terms of athletes, single athletes whose impact goes far beyond basketball. And I gotta tell you, if there's one thing that I've learned from all of this, from this column, it's that for a season that has, for a season that has been as emotional as this one has been, especially here we are, by the way, tomorrow, and it's so hard to say this already. Tomorrow will make 1 month since Kobe died. It'll mark a month already tomorrow since Kobe and his daughter Gigi and seven others were tragically killed in that helicopter crash in Calabasas. It would be befitting to end the NBA season with the Lakers and the Celtics, the rivalry, but also in a way, honors Kobe, because this was the type of matchup that he most certainly loved and lived for. Coming up next, I'm going to offer my final thoughts on the show, as well as do the usual programming announcements and so forth. So that's going to be coming up next on the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, in Medford. This is Strictly Right. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, in Medford, Tusk Free Form Radio.
tenía lo que la disco buscaba. Quería que me bailara y el DJ que la música nunca me la bajara. Y si esta prendí en fuego, que no se enamore, ya está pa'l juego. Anda sola, nunca le baja su ego. Me provoca y facilito me le pego. Y es que si esta prendí en fuego, que no se enamore, ya está pa'l juego. Anda sola, nunca le baja su ego. Me provoca y facilito me le pego. Y es que
yo tengo un problema de alcohol, yo no sé por qué soy así.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks to all of you who have tuned in this morning, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making the show part of your morning. Here with you for another 14 minutes or so, as I'll be taking your phone calls, 855-915, WMFO, 855-915-9636. As always, much appreciated. Russian Hour will be coming up next at 8 o'clock, so stick around for that show. Great artists and bands from Russia, and definitely, if you're a fan of Russian music, definitely, it's definitely going to be your show to definitely that you're definitely going to listen to and check out. So that's coming up next. Russian Hour coming up next after the conclusion of this show at 8 a.m. So stay tuned for some good Russian tunes and so forth. But in the meanwhile, just want to go over a couple of ways you could follow me on social media. Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Shukri Writes, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS, as well as Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram, where I'll also be posting show announcements on programming notes and so forth. From there as well. You can follow me on Instagram at SWS Rights Radio. S at SWRIGHTS Radio RADIO _. You can follow me there as well. As far as programming announcements, as mentioned, I will be on again tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. until 8 a.m. right here on the same airwaves, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, as well as streaming nationally on the TuneIn Radio app. Thursday is the big one. Thursday morning, I will be here 3 hours, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. That's coming up Thursday morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. So tomorrow, I'll be here 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., as well as Thursday morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. So again, reminder, Thursday is a 3-hour show. Tomorrow, same time, same slot, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., Thursday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. So with that being said, phone lines are open for another 10 minutes. Call in at 855-915. WMFO 855-915-9636. So, final thoughts brought to you by yours truly, Shukri Writes. And I want to point out that this week is the first full week of games in Major League Baseball for spring training. Now, obviously, these games don't count for anything. They don't. But nonetheless, it's actually exciting to see, you know, I can go onto MLB.com and see that there's a whole plethora of games to watch. So, woohoo! Thank goodness for that. So, pardon me. So, with that being said, today the Red Sox, I wonder who are they playing? Oh, they're playing the Orioles at home. The Orioles, they have a split squad. That's at 105. That is on radio only, actually, it looks like. Looks like it's only going to be on over on 850 AM WEEI. So that's something to keep an eye out for. But anyway, final thoughts. So it's been a while since we talked about the Patriots in any length. It's been a minute. And it's been a minute in terms of talking about Tom Brady and so forth. So I definitely think that we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the Patriots and Tom Brady in particular, because the news has been slow on all fronts, and I get it completely. I really do. At the same time, we are now at a point now where we are, what, officially, what I would say, 3 weeks? Yeah, 3 weeks. 3 weeks away from the start of the new league year, and which also means the expiration of Tom Brady's contract, and also, which also means he can officially become a free agent. I mean, he's a free agent now as is, but officially. You understand what I mean. So, with that being said, I know this has been talked about on some level here in Boston, if not on a much bigger scale than I realize. But I want to point out that why haven't the Patriots at this point applied any type of pressure on Brady to make a decision? Because I know things are really slow right now in the league and whatnot. Because listen, this weekend is the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Well, everybody will be there, including the Patriots, the head coach, you know, the GMs and the head coaches of the teams and so forth. So we know that if you are the New England Patriots, you have to begin to think and wonder, at what point do we need to get a decision from Tom Brady? Is he going to come back? Is he not going to come back? And here's something I never thought about, actually. What I never thought about was the fact that, perhaps the Patriots don't want to make the first move, whether they're going to decide to cut bait with him or just for the fact of they don't want to offer a contract first, because they don't want to be the bad guy. Because understand this, and I'm going to put this out there now. I just hope people understand that are outside of New England that if Brady does not return to New England and he signs elsewhere, the major media scrum that is going to erupt. Allow me to explain. Tom Brady has been here. He's been here for 20 years. He already has long cemented his status as truly the greatest quarterback of all time. It's not even up for debate anymore. And it's interesting that when you begin to really think about the idea that he may actually go elsewhere, and I know there are Patriots fans out there here in New England who you just can't bring him or herself to that very reality. Hate to break it to you, and I hate to burst your bubble, but that's even the cost of doing business. Just go ask Joe Montana, for example. So I begin to wonder if perhaps, maybe, just maybe the Patriots are looking to get a decision sooner rather than later, while understanding that Brady has earned the right to meet with other teams and other GMs across the NFL. That's well within his right, no question. But at the same time, I really do wholeheartedly think and believe at some point, you got to make a decision. And at some point, the Patriots, they got to come up with some sort of a plan B or plan C. And that's a fact. So this is something that I'll talk about this tomorrow on the Shukri Wright Show, because now that I think about it, I haven't really talked about this on the show. Not as of yet. So early teaser. Tomorrow on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, and tune in nationally on a TuneIn radio app. If Brady doesn't return, who would you strongly consider as your next quarterback? That's a teaser for tomorrow. Tomorrow on the Shukri Wright Show. So you're not going to want to miss that from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. But in the meanwhile, for right now, in a little bit of time that we have left, I think it's imperative that we really think about this. Brady doesn't want to be the one that says, I'm out. Because I know for a fact he's got to be thinking about his self-image. No question. And if you dare try to convince me otherwise, you're a fool. You're foolish if you think that he's not thinking about his image through his whole process. Because Brady understands that in the end, he has to always look good. Whether if it's just for his personal sake or for the fact of TB12 and business, how is that going to impact business and so forth? It's just something to think about. I think it is. And I think that if you're Tom Brady at this point, you're beginning to realize maybe I do hold all the cards. But how do I play my cards is going to determine my outcome. Because one botched move is all it takes. And all the power and wish that you've held since the end of the season back in early January when you lost to Tennessee in the wild card game, all that goes out the window. It goes out the window. You botch one move. That's it. That's all it takes. I want to begin wrapping up the Shukri Wright Show in a matter of just seconds. But first, I want to say thank you to all who tuned in this morning to the Shukri Wright Show. Always appreciate it. And I know for those who rise up early just to listen, I really do appreciate that. And I appreciate you. I really do. So, with that being said, Russian Hour is coming up starting at 8 o'clock. I'll be back here same time as it was today and yesterday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. I will talk to all of you tomorrow morning, same time at 6 a.m. We'll recap and look back on the Bruins game tonight against Calgary. Plus, talk about the Patriots briefly as well. That and much more coming up tomorrow on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. And I'll talk to you everybody then. Have a great rest of your day. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford.